Global warming, it's an amazing thing. You know, in Europe, they're about 10 years ahead of us in this whole global warming thing. In fact, they pay a very high percentage of taxes of their income tax goes right to a global warming initiative in their federal government. They've been spending hundreds of billions of dollars to stop global warming. Recently, they just had an article that came out that said what the results have been over the last 10 years of billions of dollars taxing their people and all of the things that they've been passing laws that you can and cannot do. And they found out that they haven't made a dent. In fact, nothing has changed in the global environment in Europe over all of these billions of dollars over 10 years. They said, in fact, it's exactly the same place it was 10 years ago. And the people kind of shrugged their shoulders and said, why are we doing this then? Give us our money back and stop passing these laws because it's not making any difference. Uh-oh. Now, all that to say, what does that have to do with a sun-filled summer? Here's my transition, my segue. Because if it's getting hotter, so be it, it's getting hotter. I do my chore, trust me. I do not litter. I try to recycle. I do all the stuff. My wife is very conscious about that. I am green, but I believe that human beings are more important than the plant in my backyard. I'm going to get in so much trouble. If you want to write me a letter, you write it and don't do it on paper because you're killing a tree. And you call me on the phone, and I don't know how much energy it's going to take for you to burn fuel to call me on that phone. So I don't expect to hear any complaints from anybody that's really green. All I'm saying is I'm thankful for air conditioning today. Oh, it's great to be the senior pastor. My daughter asked me the other day. I'm not even in the sermon yet. She asked me the other day. We're driving along. She was actually asking her mother. I overheard it. I'm in the vehicle. Who's the boss? Who's the real pastor at Grace? And she said, what? Well, who's the real pastor? Well, your daddy. Your daddy's a pastor. Well, no, but who's the real pastor at Grace? And she goes, I'm listening to this conversation. I'm thinking, where is she going with this? And we weren't quite sure. Well, your dad is. No, but I know he's a pastor, but who's the really pastor? And I said, you mean the one who's in charge? And she goes, yeah. She says, well, your dad is. And she goes, yes. You know, all these years of being a youth pastor, not being a real pastor, and I'm getting it at home. I used to get it from my bosses. Now I get it at home. So it's funny, somebody was in service last week. I don't know if you're still here, so I apologize. I don't even know who you are. Somebody came and said, somebody wanted to know who that guy was. Was that the pastor or was that the youth pastor? And they were talking about me. And I thought, well, that could be a compliment or that, I don't know if that means grow up a little bit, but it may not happen today, but I'll get there. Yes, Susan's the boss. Who's the real pastor? In Europe, they spent 10 years trying to figure out what they were going to do to make a difference. And after all this money and after all this time, after all this recycling, after all of this going green, it didn't make a bit of difference. And here's what I want to say about a sun-filled summer. There are a lot of people who spend years of their life with Jesus Christ. They pour their life into Jesus. They do make all the changes in their life that are necessary. And then they have to ask the question, when bad things begin to happen to good people, what difference did it make me living for Jesus Christ over 10 years when the same thing just happened to me didn't happen to my neighbor who could care less about God? That was a pretty good transition right there. What difference does it make? Here's the difference. We're selling a Jesus that doesn't exist to the world. We're trying to tell people, if you get Jesus, he'll come in and he'll just turn everything around in your life and it'll be all sunshine day. By the way, Pastor Kevin, I know who that was. I requested it was the Brady Bunch when they were trying to get a silver platter for their parents' anniversary. Sunshine day, everybody's smiling. Sunshine day, everybody's happy. We're trying to sell a Jesus that doesn't exist, or at least the portion of Jesus that doesn't exist, that somehow if you live your life exactly to the T, to the letter of the law, if I'm just a good enough person, everything's going to turn around in my life. That's just not true. Jesus Christ did not die on a cross so that we could say, sunshine day, everybody's happy. He didn't do that. What he died on the cross for was not to turn the outside of your life around. He died on the cross to turn the inside of your life around. That's what he turns around. Then everything may not be happy. That's happenings. Those things are still going to happen. The Bible says, Jesus was real clear, it rains on the just and it rains on the unjust. So if you want that Jesus, he's not here in this church. But if you want your life inside out turned around, I want to tell you about a sun-filled summer and learning how to get the sunscreen instead of the sunburn. Because that's what's happening. Jesus Christ came into our lives to give us sunscreen. We are going to have that, and we find that even Jesus himself, the Son of God, went into the wilderness, didn't he? In our text in Luke chapter 4, it says very clearly that Jesus himself went right into the wilderness. In fact, it says right here in verse 1, Jesus, full of the Holy Spirit. Now I hear people say, well, you just aren't Spirit-filled. That's why these things are happening in your life. Jesus was full, not half empty, not half full, not partially. He was full of the Holy Spirit. And look what happened to him. Your Bible and my Bible tells me very clearly and honestly, it says he returned from the Jordan right after his baptism. We're going to do that August 3rd. Some of you are going to get baptized. If you've never been baptized, come out and join us. It is going to be a great time. And what does that mean? That means something has happened inside of my life. And I'm going to go, and that water is going to represent that grave, just like Jesus Christ. I'm going to go into the mikvah, the cleansing water. I'm going to be baptized. And when I come out of that water, I'm saying inside, I want you to know, world, I have been changed in my life. And this baptism represents that. Jesus did it. I'm going to do it. It's biblical. And he comes out of that. And the first thing that happens says he was led by the Holy Spirit into the desert. Now, that doesn't sound like a lot of fun to me. I don't know about you, but if we just got done getting baptized, and some of you have been baptized, some of you had spiritual moments in your life, and the first thing that you think is, all right, I got my life right with Jesus. And you know what the next thing that happens? You go right into a desert. You go right into a wilderness experience. And I've seen that. I tell kids, when you go to camp, kids, some of you are going to go down to Tennessee, some of you are going to go over to Lake Michigan. Some of you are going to have experiences in your life. It's happened. As soon as something great happens in your life for God, you know what tends to happen? You end up in some kind of wilderness going, wait a minute, I didn't sign up for this. I thought if I got my life right with Jesus, everything was going to be all right. Everything is all right. The question isn't, is everything all right? The question is, do you trust God to take you through what he wants to take you through in your life? Because once you come out of that baptism, once you come out of that place in your life where you say, God, I'm turning my life over to you, you've just turned your life over to him. Now, does he still have permission to do what he wants to do in your life? Some of you might be thinking, I didn't sign up for this. Well, here's what he wants to do in your life. There's a few things I want to let you know not to get burned. The first thing is, get ready for some heat. Get ready for some heat in your life. You're going to get some heat in your life. He was led by the Spirit into the desert. And you got to say, wait a minute, why would God lead me into a desert place? Why would God take me into a desert place? I can tell you this, I don't know, but in the desert, miracles happen. Miracles happen in the deserts. You look at Moses. Moses got into a desert and the miracles are recorded in your Bible, and people say, I don't know if that's true. All you got to do is, there's a great website. Go look it up. It will show you the Pharaoh's chariot wheels and the emblems from the Pharaoh of that day, actually at the Red Sea, right where they crossed. They have found the plateau, and they have found the army of Pharaoh. This has been known for at least 3 years that I'm aware of. Divers went down there. They found the plateau. They found the crossing, and an entire group of people marched into a wilderness for 40 years, and God did miracle after miracle after miracle. I don't know why God takes us through hot places, but when he does, he reveals miracles in our lives. Look at Elijah. He gets up on a mountainside. He says, what am I going to do? I'm up against 400 people, 400 against one. And what does God do in his life? God steps up and says, just trust me. soak the meat down, soak the wood down. I'm going to bring fire into your life. And God does something in the wilderness. Over and over, God does things in the wilderness in our lives, and He wants to show us the miracles. Look at Meshach, Shadrach, and Abednego. Here they are serving God. God, we're not going to be like the world. We're not going to bow down to the things of the world. We see that image of gold. We know everybody's doing it but us. Everybody's doing it. I'm not. So God, what does that mean? I'm doing it all right. Sunshine day. And God says, there's no sunshine in this, but I'm going to keep you from getting sunburned. And they walk into that fiery furnace, or they get tossed into that fiery furnace, and the Bible says they didn't get burned. You got to get ready for some hot days. There's some heat coming in your life. Now, this might be a different message. You probably came into church thinking, man, I'm going to go to that church. I've heard some things about that church. There's some great stuff. Maybe if I get my life right with God, God will turn my finances around. God will turn my marriage around. God will turn my kids around. Maybe if I get God in my life, I'll just have sunshine days. So tell me, how come it rained yesterday on my golf game? I prayed. I said, God, let us get this thing in. We got it in. We just got a little wet. And you know what I found out? People who weren't golfing got wet too. Because it rains on everybody. And the sun came out on everybody. It just does. That's the way life is. But you know what? I wasn't cursing the rain. I was blessing God, saying, God, if we can get this in, great. If we can't, so be it. It did not change what was happening inside my life, what was happening outside of my life. There are too many Christians living this false Jesus about what's happening outside determines I must be a bad person. God must be punishing me for something. No, maybe God's taking you through something to show Himself. Maybe He wants to do a miracle in your life and you are afraid to walk in the fire because nobody likes the fire. Maybe you're afraid to go through the wilderness. God, I'm out here. I haven't got a job. I haven't got any water. I haven't got a house. And God says, not a problem. I got some food for you. Heaven's kitchen. Let's go, angels. I want some manna. I want some quail. You want something to drink? Not a problem. I'll tap a rock. I'll give you water like you've never drank before. Try some of this on for size. You need a place to stay? Not a problem. That whole city over there, I'm going to wipe those people out. You can have houses you did not build and vineyards you did not grow. Let me do something in your life. And if we stay on this side of the Jordan saying, I don't know, we will never see the hand of God in our lives. Get ready for some heat in your life. God wants to do a miracle. Man, I could stop right there and the sermon is, that would just be good. But there's more. I want you to turn in your Bible, and I want to show you why God takes you into the desert, into the heat. Turn in your Bible to Mark chapter 6. You're going to turn back from Luke, just a few pages. Mark chapter 6. I want to show you something. You may have never seen this in your Bible before. You've heard this story. If you've been in church at all, you have heard this story, but you have maybe never seen this in your Bible. In Mark chapter 6, it's the story of Jesus feeding what? 5,000 people. You've probably heard of that story. What did He feed them with? He fed them with a few loaves and a few fish, and He fed 5,000. That's a great miracle. And everybody looks at that miracle and says, that's amazing. I don't know how you did that, Jesus. Well, He multiplied it. He just skipped the barley. He just didn't grow the crops. He made the bread. He skipped the grapes. He made the juice. He just tends to skip processes. But there's something else in here that is amazing. Look at chapter 6 of Mark, and it says, in the feeding of the 5,000, it says, the apostles gathered around Jesus, reported all they had done and taught in verse 30. Then because many people were coming and going, they didn't even have a chance to eat. And He said to them, come with me. Come be with me by yourselves to this quiet place and get some rest. So when they did this, they went away by themselves in a boat to a solitary place. They're just looking for a break in their lives. But many who saw them leaving recognized them and ran on foot from all the towns, the cities, and got there ahead of them. There's no rest. So He began teaching, and these people were like a sheep without a shepherd. He began teaching them many things. Now look what your Bible says. By this time it was late in the day, so His disciples came to Him, and look at this next quote. This is a remote place, they said, and it's already very late. That word remote in your Bible means deserted. It's kind of the area. In fact, the region where they were was very rocky terrain. There were no trees. There's no shade. It's hot. It's a remote place. It means they can't grow any crops. There's nothing good here. And he says, they said, this is a remote place. Now, I want you to know, watch what God does in our lives when the heat comes on, when we get into these desert places. Remember, Jesus was led into the desert. Send the people away so they can go to the surrounding countryside and villages and buy themselves something to eat. But he answered, you give them something to eat. Now, here comes the miracle. They said to him, that would take 8 months of a man's wages. Are we to go to spend that much on bread and give it to them to eat? How many loaves do you have? He said, go and see. When they found out, they said, 5 and 2 fish. I'll tell you what, that's a dinner for me. 5 loaves of bread and 2 fish. You folks are out of luck. Look what takes place. Then Jesus directed them. What does your Bible say? Jesus directed them to sit down where? What does your Bible say on the what? On the green grass. Where did the green grass come from? Because I did some archaeology studies on this a couple years ago. The word in the Greek is a remote, desolate, rocky terrain that nothing grows on. He told 5,000 people to take a seat on the green grass. I think that's a great miracle. In the middle of your heat, in the middle of your desert, in the middle of your life, God wants to give you an oasis. He really does. Now, I'm not saying everything around you is going to change, but He'll at least give you a place to sit and enjoy the favor of God. I believe God wants to do this in our lives, and sometimes we miss the smallest things. Everybody's looking at the fish. I'm hungry. And God gives them a place to sit that's comfortable. Think about that in your own life. How comfortable, how good God is in the small things. A blade of grass. Well, get ready for some heat. It says that Jesus was led into the desert. Into the desert. I believe God is going to lead some of you into some tough places. I mean, I hear stories about your jobs, your houses, you hear about the income, the mortgages, the kids, moving, changing. Folks, in the middle of all that, be led by God. Let God lead you. And it may be hot. But here's the second point. Avoid unnecessary exposure. Avoid unnecessary exposure. It says the devil came for how many days? How many days did the devil tempt Jesus? The kids, you guys know this. How many days did the devil tempt Jesus? 40 days and 40 nights. Good job. 40 days and 40 nights. Here it is. Avoid unnecessary exposure. God led Jesus to be tempted for 40 days. That was God's plan. 40 days, God. Don't stay 41 days in the desert. I think here's what happens to so many people. Oh, Pastor, my life is going through this. Well, maybe God's taking you through this. Yeah, but it's going for 2 years. Well, maybe God only wanted it for a month. Why are you still there after 2 years? Because you haven't allowed God to lead you. You know what I find? A lot of people go through unnecessary exposure. You will get sunburned. I had a guy, I had a children's pastor in my ministry years ago. We went to Wyoming. To our dude ranch. And he went with us. And it's hot. I mean, the elevation is higher. And so, I mean, there's just more sun exposure. You don't want to be exposed to UV rays. You know what UV rays do in our lives? I don't know, understand all this ultraviolet stuff and the whole sun coming through in our ozone. All I know is I built a deck in my backyard 3 years ago and I tore it down this summer. And when me and my boys were tearing it apart, the thing just ripped apart brittle. It was cracked. We stained that thing. We took care of that thing. We did everything you're supposed to do. My dad's got a deck. It lasted 20 years in his farmhouse. 3 years, mine snapped like little twigs of dust when we took it apart. I don't understand this whole UV ray stuff, but I know that it pounds and it pounds and it pounds and it makes things brittle. Here's the deal. I believe that Satan wants to expose us and pound and pound and pound until we get to the place where we're just brittle people. And our lives are like that. You've been a Christian 3 years, yeah. And they get inside and they go, man, you're really a brittle person. You're a bitter person. What's going on in your life? I don't know. I've just had the devil just pounding and pounding and pounding. He just doesn't leave me alone. Yeah, he may come and pound you. The Bible says being led by the Spirit. But sometimes we put ourselves into unnecessary exposure to what's going on. And that happens in our lives, not because God was doing it and not because the devil was doing it. We just put ourselves in a bad situation. And it's our fault. So I had this guy, this pastor. We go to Wyoming. And he put himself in. And here's what we tend to do. I said, hey, he says, I'm going on a canoe trip with this group on this day. I said, it's supposed to be 95 degrees out. No clouds in the sky. I said, make sure you put suntan lotion. And here's what he said to me. I don't need to. And I just thought, you are a kid's pastor. I would even wear suntan lotion. I mean, you gotta get this stuff on. And so I brought my suntan lotion. I brought all kinds of stuff with me today. And he says, I don't need it. He got so sunburned after 6 hours on a canoe on the North Platte River, he was purple. I'm not kidding you. I can't make it. I thought we were going to have to take him to a hospital. He had the chills. He was sick. He was in bed. We started praying for him. He said the words, I don't need it. And I got to thinking about that. I wonder how many Christians say, Jesus, that grace, we need to get ourselves covered in the grace of God. And how many people say, I got this. I can handle this. How many people try to handle it themselves? I can handle the devil. I can handle the pounding in my life. Folks, you cannot handle the pounding in your life without Jesus. Because if you could have, you'd be doing it and you had already been better. If there's something going on in your life and you say, I can handle this. No, you can't, because you would have handled it. You need God to handle it for you, and you need to stop handling it yourself. But you know what? We get things in our lives unnecessarily, and we think, I can handle this. We get a false sense of security. I mean, I got the SPF 45. I got the SPF Block It Up 45. I got the Panama Jack 45. I got the Hawaiian Tropic 4. This is the stuff I like, because I want a little more sun, because I want a little more suntan. You know what? What I found out, I lifeguard for years, and we had to do all these studies and stuff. Do you know that, and in fact, I looked it up just to make sure, that SPF 30, once you hit 30, it doesn't matter the numbers after that. You're not getting, you're doing very, very, very little in your life. You can maybe get 4% more blockage total by going above 30. So this is just selling you a false sense of security. You know they make 90? SPF 90? I got 90 for you. Stay in the house. You won't get a sunburn. There's this false sense of security. I mean, my family, we went on a cruise this last year, our first time ever, and we get on this island. And I mean, it's just pristine. It's hot. We're like, yeah, we're taking all this. I mean, just taking it on. And my kids are pretty fair-skinned, a couple of them especially. And so we're just saying, let's get this stuff on. We get all the stuff on. We get back to the boat that night, and we are fried. I'm thinking, how did this happen? I missed the back of my calves and the top of my feet. I couldn't wear shoes. For 2 days on the cruise, my feet hurt so bad. I'm like, oh, this is not good. And the back of my calves were fried. Susan, it was beautiful. She had a handprint right on her back. The only place it was still white, not red. It was like somebody messed up. Oh, man. We get this false sense of security that somehow we have the strength. I'll just cover myself up. Guys, we got to get the grace of God. Listen, when I tell you the heat, it's going to get hot. Avoid unnecessary stuff. We didn't have to be out there as long as we just got going. And once you're out there, you know, there's something that just calls your name. Swim. I mean, the most beautiful beaches. And I've been in the sun for hours after hours snorkeling with my boys. And I was already getting burned. There was just something that should have said, put a shirt on. But it said, no, snorkel. things call your name. See, it's the temptation here is Jesus is out there for 40 days and the devil is saying things to him that he knows will be attractive. And these are temptations, folks. These aren't just words. Hey, you know, if you're hungry, you should just say to those rocks, turn into bread. He's hungry. Those rocks were talking to him. He's done it before, the manna in the desert. He can handle this. He doesn't do it, but it's tempting him. And I know the things in your life, you have things that call your name all the time. And you got to ask the question, is it worth getting burned for? And then we say, oh, I can handle this. Just like my children's pastor. Oh, I can handle this. You're going to get burned if you think you can handle this stuff in your life. I brought something along with me this morning that has burned me many times. Last minute, I didn't even have it. I came over this morning. I called home. I said, bring it. I got to use it. This was a gift given to me by a fellow golfer. I thought it was out of friendship. Now I realize it was not. It's called a graphite driver. It's got a lot of flex in it. And if this breaks, so what? I have thrown this out of my bag. I had this for 2 weeks. And the graphite, what happens is these are the latest. I mean, I remember when these came out in the 90s, at least that I discovered them. I went into a pro shop and I said, I'd like to get me some graphites. And he said, okay, let me have you swing. So I got out there and I went to swing. I was just telling one of my guys the other day, we golfed yesterday in this tournament, and I said, you shouldn't be using these either, because if you swing hard, I'm swinging, and what happens is that flex will never catch up. And so the club face will always be open, and your ball will go who knows where. And so the pro says, so go ahead and swing there, Pastor. So I did. I swung, and he just stopped, and he just stared at me. I said, what? He goes, do you have anger issues? Why? He goes, you really swing hard. I go, the golf course is a great place to get rid of aggression. In fact, I'm going to market golf balls with people's names on them. I will become a millionaire. Because you get to hit that thing all over as hard as you want. Who cares where it goes? It just feels good to hit it hard. He goes, you can't have graphites. You have to have steel shaft. So a couple weeks ago, a friend picked this up and he gave it to me. He says, try it out. So I took it out. First couple holes, I put them in the woods. I put them in the street. I was yelling four a lot. And what happened was, I knew better and I knew what was happening. I was told I shouldn't do it and I did it anyway because I hit one good ball and it went 50 yards further than I could possibly hit with my 1985 Sears Special wood. And I went, wow, I didn't hardly swing on that one. It went 50 yards further than I could normally drive. I said, oh, if I could just learn to use this. And so for the next 2 weeks, I had it in my bag. And I'd pull it out going, okay, I can do this one. Now this one I can do. And I'd pull it out to go hit it. And you know what happened? Well, there it goes. And I said, that's it. I'm not using it again. I stuck it in my bag. I said, I'm never going to use that again. And I'm golfing last week in our golf league. And we get to this third hole where one of our brothers took out a semi on the highway. Longest drive I've ever seen. Landed in the back of the semi. It's still going somewhere to New York. I put it in my bag. I said, I'm not going to hit it again. I'm watching. I said, I can drive over that creek with the other club. And I could hear it calling me. Play with me. I'm not using you. Please. See, temptation calls your name. You can do it. I reach over and I grab it. I said, I can do this. And the guys look at me and say, you just said you were. I said, I know what I said, but I can do this. I got up. I lined up. I said, okay, slow the swing down. I can do this. I can handle this. I swung and I did like I always do. I swung like I'm just angry at the world. And I hit my ball and it went 10 yards into the grass right here. And I said, why did I use you? Never again. And I stuck it in my bag three more holes. It called my name and I pulled it out. I shot the worst game of my life. I said, I can't do this. But something inside of me said, you can get more if you just handle it. And I said, I can handle this. It's just a club. How many things in our lives that we say, I can handle this? And it just calls out, look, you'll get this if you do it. Buy a few more lottery tickets. Hey, it's just surfing. Nobody's going to know what you're doing. Hey, so you didn't pay back or you cut a few corners. Hey, you can handle it. It's just a club. Yesterday we went to a tournament. I got my clubs and everything. I was throwing them all in the van Friday night. And it was in my bag still. And he said, are you taking? I said, no. I pulled it out and I threw it into my garage. And that's where it sat till this morning. Now here it is, back in my hands. So I have a free club. Does somebody want this? You can handle it. You'll need a lot of golf balls. The Bible says in James chapter 1, your Bible says, and I want you to look at this, it says, you can handle it. See, Jesus was out there for 40 days. He wasn't out there for 41 days. Look what James chapter 1 says in verse 12. Because some people would say, Pastor, you mean God put him in that horrible place? Yes, I mean that. God put him into that wilderness. You mean God might do that to me? And I want to let you know something. Yes, God might do that to you. Why? Because he wants you to be there for 40 days. But not 41. So if you're saying, you know, I think I'll just stay on the beach one more day, you have got yourself a false sense of security that you're not going to get burned. Get off the beach. Don't get sunburned. Get sunscreen. Get the Son of God to screen your life. Look at what James says, and this is your warning. When tempted, no one should say, God is tempting me, for God cannot be tempted by evil. Now, look up here. What he's saying is this. The devil tempts us. God tests us. The devil wants us to meet the baker. God wants us to meet the maker. The reason you're in the wilderness with God is because he wants to build you up. The reason you're in the wilderness with the devil is because he wants to tear you down. See, one wants you to get French fried. One wants you to get sanctified. One wants you to turn from your sin and one wants you to burn in your sin. That's the difference of what's going on. God is testing you in the fire because steel, when it's heated up, makes stronger metal. But when you're in the fire, the devil's trying to destroy you. When tempted, no one should say, God is tempting me, for God cannot be tempted by evil, nor does he tempt anyone. Verse 14, watch this. But each one when tempted by his own evil desires. The Greek word, I'm going to give you three Greek words here. I'm not going to give you the words, but I'm going to give you the meaning. When by his own evil desires, number one, if you write down somewhere, that word is translated lure, L-U-R-E. That's for you fishermen. He is dragged away and enticed. That word is translated rape. Let me explain this to you. He's dragged away, and enticed. Then when sin grows up, gives birth to death. I'm going to give you the word for death in a second. Fishermen, you'll understand this. Each one of us, we should not expose ourselves to unnecessary situations. If you've ever been trout fishing, and I used to trout fish with my dad in California in the mountains. We'd go down to the base to get our dinner. Those fish, oftentimes, they'll find these little huddles, these hovels under rocks. Fish will do that. and we'd cast out. And he says, they're in those swales underneath those rocks. Get your lure out there so they can see it and come out from under that rock. That's the Greek word that's being used here for tempting, by his own evil desires. What he's saying is, we are under this umbrella. We have the sunscreen of God in our lives. And the devil comes and he puts a lure out. And here it is. And it dangles. And what he's trying to do is to get us to go out of our safety under God's umbrella and go, I can handle this. Hey, guys, don't worry. And sometimes our friends say, what are you doing? Get out of that situation. Don't even go there. And you know what we do? We get enticed. That's what that word means, to entice. And can I tell you something? The devil will dangle in your life the very thing that will entice you the most. He will not put out there crummy food. He's not going to put out there something you go, I don't want that. He is going to put on that lure the very thing that you know. He puts that out there. I don't know if I can make it. And here's what it says. It says, by his own evil desires. And then it says, he is dragged away. I said, write down the word rape. The Greek word here, dragged away, is the picture in the Greek. When I looked this up, here's what it said in my Greek study. It's a word that says, now that I'm out here, I'm walking along. Imagine somebody walking in the woods and you're walking along and there's a tree. It means hiding behind it. The picture is the devil hiding behind the tree. And as soon as you walk by, he jumps on you, grabs you. And the word is literally rape. He will grab a hold of your life and he wants to rape your life. And that makes sense because Jesus said in John 10:10, the devil came to kill, he came to steal, and he came to destroy your life. But I have come that you might have life and life to the full. No wonder why it says once you come out of that protection of God, you are walking through the wilderness and you are no longer under God's sunscreen. You are about to get sunburned because you have just stepped out. And the Bible says he will grab a hold of and rape. He will pillage your life. Now this makes sense. And you may have never seen this in the book of James before. But it says, then after desire has conceived, it gives birth to sin. And sin, when it's full grown, gives birth to death. The word death here is the only place in the entire Old or New Testament that this word is even translated. And it's translated one way. The word is aborted, abortion. Now think about this. The devil's kind of, hey, come here. Get you out from under God's wonderful grace. And once you're out there, he wants to just grab a hold of you. And it says he will grab, and the word is rape. No wonder why then it says conceived, because he implants into our lives the sin that will grow. I always tell my kids, what will grow in your life is what you feed. But do not let the devil plant something into your life that can grow. And then when it's fully grown, it says right here, it becomes what the Bible says, the only place translated, abortion. It said he will just literally rip your life apart to death. That's his goal. That's pretty surreal this morning, isn't it? Your Bible is so graphic, and yet you don't find it. You say, well, he doesn't tempt anybody. Each one is tempted when he just kind of goes off and does something. It's not a golf club here, folks. It's your soul. Don't get sunburned. Don't tempt fate. Avoid unnecessary exposure. You know what I say? Get the club out of your bag. If you have something in your life going, I can handle this, get it out of your bag and it will not call your name again. And I close with this. The last thing, put your sunscreen on. You need to apply the sunscreen. You know what Jesus did? The devil came to him and says, hey, you hungry? Oh, I'm hungry. Hey, tell these stones to turn to bread. You know what? It's written. And he grabs a little application. And Jesus puts on, he says, it's written, man shall not live by bread alone, but on every word of God. And he puts on the sunscreen, doesn't he? He's not going to get burned. The devil comes to him again. He says, hey, why don't you do this? If you're the Son of God, see all these kingdoms. He puts some more on. It's written. Three times Satan does this to him, doesn't he? And three times Jesus answers him. and he puts on the sunscreen. It's the same thing you ought to do in your life. You get the Word of God and you apply it in your life. You take the Word of God and you live by the Word of God. You will never get burned if you live by the Word of God. I can guarantee every one of you this morning, your life, you will not ultimately get burned. You will have the heat in your life, but God is refining you, but you will not get burned. The Bible says, though we all stumble in many ways, we will not fall. Now to him who is able to keep you from falling, Jesus Christ. The Word of God will cure any sunburn that you have. Do not get burned by the devil. Do not play the devil's game. The one thing about this, putting on your sunscreen, can I tell you something in your life? I don't know what you're going through, but you can always get better. The devil can never get worse. You know what the three sins are? You know what the sunscreen is? You need to get some UV protection for your eyes. You need to get it for your skin. And you need to get it for your heart. And you know why? Because the Bible says here, you know what these three things that Satan did to Jesus? I'm going to set some of you free in this, hopefully. The lust of the eyes, the lust of the flesh, and the pride of life. Three sins. Do you know what the devil did back in Genesis chapter 3 to Adam and Eve? Hey, you see that apple? You see that fruit? Excuse me, that fruit? Yeah, doesn't it look good? Lust of the eyes. Take a bite, it'll taste good. Lust of the flesh. If you eat that, you'll be just like God, knowing good from evil. The pride of life. Do you know the devil has not come up with a single new thing to get you to get sunburned? He doesn't have anything new in your life. He did the same thing to Adam and Eve. And all the way for 4,000 years up to Jesus, and now for 2,000 years up to you and I today, the devil doesn't have a single new sin temptation. It is lust of your eyes. It is lust of your flesh. It is the pride of life. And that's why he says here that you need to just put those things on. He has nothing new for you, but you have something new for him. It is the grace of God covering your life. And your grace can become more, but his evil cannot become more in your life. In 1921, George Mallory and a group of people went to try something that had never been tried before. They tried to climb Mount Everest. Mount Everest is, let me get this right, it is 29,028 feet high. It is the highest point on planet Earth. It was probably the last point that Noah could have seen when the flood hit. 29,000 feet in the air is the peak of Mount Everest. George Mallory and his friends, his team, tried to climb that mountain in 1921. First time it had ever been attempted. The wind gusts at the top of Mount Everest are up to 200 miles an hour. They wanted to climb this thing. So in 1921, they gave it a try. They failed. In 1922, he took another team up. Seven of his team members died. They froze to death. They failed. And in 1924, he went up one more time, his third time. He led his third expedition, and in the middle of the winds and the snow, Mallory and his best friend, Andrew Irvin, were never seen ever again. A couple weeks later, they had a memorial service down at the base of the mountain at a chapel, with some of those who had been on his teams, his family and friends. And as everybody gathered, on the back wall they had a large mural of Mount Everest. And something very unforgettable took place. Somebody came up and they were doing the memorial service. And in the middle of their speech, this person at the podium gazed at the picture and boldly addressed and said, quote, "I speak to you, Mount Everest. In the name of all the brave men living and those yet unborn, Mount Everest, you defeated us once. You defeated us twice. You defeated us three times. But Mount Everest, we shall someday defeat you because you can never get any bigger and we can." And it was 50 years or 32 years later in 1953. That Sir Edmund Hillary and his guide reached the top of Mount Everest and stood on the summit at 29,000 feet. You see, the mountain can't change. but we can change. The devil can't do anything new, but we can take the new things and grow in our own lives. I can't handle certain things in my life. I don't need to get sunburned. Jesus teaches us this morning to go ahead and let the grace of God cover you and not to step out from that. Go in the wilderness with God for 40 days, but don't go for 41 days. I encourage you, let God grow your spiritual life. Here's your sunscreen. Put some on. Let's stand and pray together.